Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals Podcast. I am your host, Harley. Rejoining me for this episode to talk about Superstore in our sitcom summer series, it's host of the Rank List and the Annapurnaverse podcasts, it's Alex Gilston. Alex has kindly come back onto the show to talk to me about an absolute sensation, and that is of course the sitcom Superstore. Running from 2015 and only recently wrapping up this year, Superstore has had a tremendous amount of success over its six-season run and has showcased the talents of many actors, most of which are known for their perhaps more dramatic roles, but in this case they get to show off and be a bit more on the comedic side. And of course we dive into that, we dive into the setup, we dive into just everything really, and even some of the bigger issues that this show touches upon. There's an awful lot to enjoy in this episode. So, without further ado, let's just get straight into it. This is Superstore with Alex Gilston. Hello, Alex, and welcome back to the Fundamentals Podcast.
Hello, I'm so glad you've got me back, and for such an incredible reason as well.
Absolutely, mates. Yeah, I put the call out for the sitcoms, and you are definitely one of the people to come back to me fit pretty quickly, and I appreciated that. And as people have been listening to this show, they'll know that returning guests are always welcome. So yes, you've come back to me, and you've come back to me with one which I'm really glad you brought up, and I was hoping somebody would, because it's, I feel like it's one of the newer sort of fresh hot comedies at the minute, and that is Superstore.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would completely agree with that.
So I just want to know, like, yeah, why did you bring it to the show, and when did you first sort of stumble across this?
Well, it's funny you should say about it being new and fresh and stuff. And to me, it was completely new and fresh. It was basically like one of my my lockdown binges.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, Superstore, it started in 2015.
That's right. Yeah, I was surprised by that myself. Yeah.
Yeah, because I kind of, when I came into it, I was watching it because there's six seasons altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming into it where on Netflix, five seasons were on there, the first five seasons. And then the sixth season was kind of just about to be aired. And though obviously with the pandemic and stuff, they had to halt filming and they had to like split it up and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't know originally that season six was going to be the last one, because honestly, if I'd have known beforehand,
yeah,
I probably would have not watched it, because when I say I get more attached to the stories and the characters and just the overall thing of a sitcom over any type of media, I'm being fully serious. Like, I will... You know how, like, if you've ever seen The Notebook, like, you cry just massively at The Notebook. I'm like that, but with sitcoms. Any sitcom, okay, I will just absolutely blubber at. Because I don't know what... I don't know what it is about sitcoms, but maybe it's just the fact that obviously it follows kind of normal people, I suppose. You could put that in quotation marks, because obviously a lot of them are like heightened stereotypes of how people are in real life and things like that. But because it's real stories and it's set in a place like a, you know, a store, like a supermarket, it just, I don't know, it just feels more... I suppose relatable in a way, and in that sense, I just get way too attached.
So you're clamoring for season six over here, like the rest of us.
Well, it's aired on ITV2.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean I've seen it. I don't know whether it's. Let's see. Because I'm pretty sure. Oh, you know what? I think it's airing, like, right now.
Oh, well, there you go. We should stop recording and just go and...
Yeah, that's it. See you later. I'm going watching Superstore.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. And you've brought up some points that we've kind of touched upon already, and there's a little sizzle for a future episode that's already been recorded, but will come out after this. about getting attached to characters, it's so true. I've had some discussions previously and coming up where that is a running theme. And you're right, it's because often these situational comedies more often than not put people in real life situations, and you watch them go on these journeys and you spend so much time with them, and you're kind of rooting for them a lot of the time, or you want them to succeed. So I get that. I mean, I'm somebody that at the end of some of the season finales of certain shows, I won't lie, I get a little misty-eyed. The US Office always makes me tear up a little bit because of the way that winds down. There's a few other shows like it. They pull on the heartstrings.
I'm not going to lie to you, though, Hallett. I just have an incredibly obsessive personality. And that's why, that's why I fall so deep. I fall so hard. But yeah, no, you're right. I think it doesn't happen with every sitcom. There are loads of sitcoms out there, as we discussed. I don't like them all. But when a sitcom like Superstore just hits that sweet spot of... Yeah. You know, because sometimes in a sitcom, all the characters can be really annoying and just kind of in no way relatable, and just, and then that kind of just makes it not fun to watch. Yeah. But, you know, you've got sitcoms like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Parks and Recreation and all that kind of stuff. And I think Superstore just gets to that level where the characters... You know, like you said, you really are rooting for them, especially when you followed them over 100 episodes. You know, you wanna see them succeed, and you wanna see them be in the places that you know they eventually end up being in, and that's always a great thing. And over everything, the best thing about sitcoms and the best thing about Superstore, because I feel like Superstore does this more than any of them, is it just makes you smile and just makes you so happy because of how goofy and how stupid and how silly it is, you know, at times. I think over the top. I would argue that Superstore is probably one of the most human sitcoms out there.
Yeah. Do you know what? The theme of humanism is coming up in a future episode. I won't say what, because it's already done, but we'll get to that. But yeah, it's true. It's something that runs through these kind of shows. And I think you're right. This one does have that built into it. And I don't know about you. When I first saw the show, I was kind of surprised, or maybe I'm just ignorant, but I was surprised that this sort of premise hasn't been done before, because it makes sense. It's the kind of setup being in a kind of supermarket, you say a superstore in the States, especially where everything's kind of extra. You think, yeah, this is rife for comedy and for setups and yeah.
And well, that's another thing I did want to mention. Actually, you've just segued me perfectly, because you're not wrong, Holly. It did exist.
It did already
exist in the UK.
Uh huh.
And I don't know whether it was this show that specifically spurred on the creators of Superstore to make Superstore, but I don't know whether you remember Sky One sitcom Trolleyed.
That's right. Yes, that did exist. Do you know what? I think I watched like an episode and thought it was okay.
Yeah, so this is the thing. I mean, comparatively, well, there is no comparison really, because, I mean... that just in general, Superstore is a hell of a lot higher quality than Trolleyed. But, you know, when Trolleyed was airing back in 2011 to 2012, it was just funny as it was. And I think you're right about, you know, them being in this situation that, you know, a lot of people can relate to, because, you know, a lot of people work in retail.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. But also, even if you don't work in retail, you can still kind of relate to the situations that these people get themselves into and how it is to work in a place like that.
Yeah, I just quickly looked up Trolleyed because it finished in 2018. I thought it had done like two seasons and gone, but it's like seven series here.
No, it went on. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
I know it. I know it did quite a bit, to be honest. Huh. And it had quite a good cast as well. I do love me a bit of Jason Watkins, I'm not going to lie. I think he's very good.
So do you think is this like a direct kind of remake? Or
I don't think, you know what, I'd love to know. I'd love to see if If it was.
Yeah.
But even if it wasn't, like, and I don't know whether, I don't know, because I personally prefer American sitcoms, even though
okay,
British sitcoms are kind of ones that we can relate to more, if you know what I mean, because, you know, it's obviously the humor's more centric to our sense of humor.
Yes.
And especially the situations that people get themselves into is right. There's a lot more kind of, but I think another thing with a show like Superstore is it is more universal, because even if you haven't worked in a supermarket, if you've worked in any type of, you know, if you've worked in a McDonald's or a Sports Direct or just any type of retail, you know, you have seen that customer, you have worked with that goofy person, you have worked with a person like Dina. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Think that's what makes it so fun, because you're constantly seeing these little things and you're going, yeah, I kind of, yeah, that. Do you know what I mean? And I just love that so much. And maybe that is why I love Superstore so much.
Hmm. I could see that. I was going to ask, actually, out of curiosity, yeah, have you ever worked in retail?
I've only worked in retail, my friend.
I've got experience in the trenches myself. So, yeah, you're right. It's something that particularly... what I love in the series is they do a lot of these cutaway gags where it's just like people doing really bizarre stuff in supermarkets and you just laugh because you're like, I've either seen that or something close to that, or even if you haven't, you're like, I could totally believe that a customer would just do that, because it's just what people do.
That is, and the thing is as well, it's such a good way to break the episode up as well.
Yeah, it's a really good device,
you know, and they use it in literally every episode. There is a shot of a customer doing something of again, something that people have seen customers do thousands and thousands of times before, and when you see it happen, you go, yeah, I've seen someone do that before, that's funny. You're making fun of that, and I really, it's just very clever and really really well done.
It certainly is. And I guess another reason why you might gravitate towards this and American sitcoms, it's something that we've talked about, and again, will be discussed on a future episode. I can't keep teasing that. But anyway, it's to do with the very nature, I think, of usually American sitcoms versus British sitcoms. And it's been commented on by various actors and writers and the like. And that is that American sitcoms tend to be a little bit more on the optimistic, kind of hopeful, colourful side. Whereas a lot of British sitcoms, our leads are very dour and like miserable middle-aged men.
Uncle is, I mean, have you ever seen Uncle?
I haven't, no.
It is very depressing, but it is great. But yeah, no, I think if you compare it to things like that, you're definitely 100% on the mark there.
Yeah, I just think stuff like Fawlty Towers, The UK Office, which will be an episode.
Alan Partridge,
Peep Show. Yeah, all these kind of shows were like, the central protagonists are generally pretty miserable. Whereas, like you say, someone like Superstore, as much as it just seems to be very bright and colourful.
Yeah, very much.
But I also think I was quite impressed with the kind of way it handles, I guess you call it, the political side of it, of working in these kind of corporate environments. I feel like it's very spot on with a lot of its observations.
Well, it deals with those things incredibly well, and completely all the way through the show from start to finish. And you know, the way it kind of goes is dealt with incredibly well. And then you've also got situations with characters like Mateo, who is obviously an immigrant who is undocumented, and obviously that whole situation is again a storyline that's dealt with a lot of grace and integrity, and I think that's another thing that pulls me towards this show, because it does deal with those things really, really well, and with quite a lot of it doesn't tiptoe around the issues, but it doesn't kind of ham-fist them, as so much to make it kind of offensive, I suppose.
Yeah, and stuff like the sort of wage gap and things like that, I thought were very interesting. Like you said, it doesn't beat you over the head with it, but it's just very honest. And I had to laugh at some of the scenes where they're talking about unionizing and things like that, and then like these guys from corporate come in and basically try and win them over with snacks and like rather than actually deal with the problems. And if you've worked in any kind of retail environment, you recognize those kinds of people and those kinds of conversations, and it's just sort of like you said, just kind of makes you chuckle a little bit, and you're like, yeah, I've seen that, I've been in those meetings.
Yeah, you just know it straight away, and that that's just what's so great about it. Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. But kind of speaking of, man, I mean, I feel like it'd be good to take a look at some of the cast members, because I've started doing that with these episodes. And yeah. I find it's a really good way of breaking down moments and what have you. And
of course,
I was surprised by this with the leads, because and you've got the top of the cast on this one is Ben Feldman, who's Jonah. Now, I've only known him as a character in Mad Men, who kind of goes insane at one point. I can't remember why, but I mean, anyone who's watched Mad Men knows it's a very dreary series. It's excellent, but it's very depressing. And yeah, so when I saw him in this, I was like, oh, he's doing a comedic role. And I really like him. I think he's very funny at playing this very awkward guy that just constantly puts his foot in his mouth all the time.
Whoa, whoa. You trying to say being black's a disability?
Oh, no. Huh? No, of course, no. I have lots of...
What?
I listen to Drake. No. I watch BET sometimes.
He plays the kind of attempting to be... I don't want to say the word. Walk. No, that's a bit of cringy words. You know, trying to be progressive.
Okay.
He gotcha. Plays the trying to be progressive, but like he is doing the tippy toe type thing of like... He doesn't want to offend anybody, but he makes himself out to be this like really, really progressive person. I think he just plays it so well. He's such a great... I mean, all of the characters in the show are great. I think they're all incredibly well realized. I think you agree. I hadn't actually seen Ben Feldman in anything going into Superstore. And I was just instantly on board with him. I thought he played so well as a character himself, and then with the rest of the ensemble, just absolutely wonderful. And I do know he's going to be in the new Disney Plus show Monsters at Work, the sequel to Monsters, Inc., as a voice of one of the characters. So I'm quite excited to see him in that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a really good series. But in this, I think he's pretty good. And I do feel like there's a kind of good chemistry with him and America Ferrera, who plays Amy, the other lead of the series, because that's obviously a key to any sitcom, isn't it? Is usually the romantic leads.
Yeah.
And I feel like these guys work pretty well. They kind of bounce off each other, and his sort of awkwardness kind of bounces off her confidence in a way, which is quite nice.
Definitely. And I think that is another point to has probably been touched on before when discussing sitcoms in general. The love, the ships of the show, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, those two characters have got to have that chemistry, otherwise it is complete make or break. You've got Jake and Amy in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, who are literally just pitch perfect. Leslie and Ben in Parks and Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back to those like as examples.
Yeah.
More often than not. And I think, you know, Amy and Jonah in Superstore are just another perfect example of the kind of will they, won't they, and then when they eventually do, and building up of that relationship, and then, it's just great, and the banter's always wonderful between them as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. And I kind of enjoy... One of the gags I really like with Amy is that she's always changing her name tag so that customers don't know her name. I think that's a great little joke, and they're very consistent with it. If you pay attention to the episodes, like she's even when she's like a manager, she's always got a different name badge on. I kind of like that little running gag.
Incredibly. I think that, the thing is about America Ferrera as well is that she came into this with, probably... more experience than anybody, really, you know, because obviously she had Ugly Betty, which she was absolutely wonderful in, might I add. And that's where, obviously, I knew America Ferrera from originally. And, yeah, you know, coming into Superstore, she just does an absolutely phenomenal job, and she really holds the show together. She's kind of the glue, really, that keeps it all going.
Yeah, I think she's a really interesting character in a similar way, I kind of think, to Jonah. And this is, again, why I kind of feel like they work, is she's also on that thing of trying to please everybody, but also be a bit aloof sometimes, and be a bit like, she wants to be her own person, but she also doesn't want to upset anyone, or kind of wants to, I don't know. I just find sometimes she flip-flops a little bit and gets herself into situations just through, like, say, trying to be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
Yeah, very much so. And I think another thing about her character as well, and what makes, you know, her character so desirable, is how optimistic she is about making a future for herself and her children and that kind of stuff. And, you know, in that kind of sense, it's kind of a really nice thing to see, and kind of how independent she wants to be.
Yeah, and she wants to make her mark on things. And I just think, again, it adds to that optimism that the show brings, and it's lovely. It's a really nice message, I think, for people.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, you know, throughout the show, and seeing her go from strength to strength and becoming more successful and more successful, is, you know, the stories of all these characters from 2015 all the way up to 2021 is just done so well. Yeah, very, very
No, you're right. You want her to succeed. I think as the show progresses and more comes away, you do kind of want her to have that.
Definitely.
And I just want to confirm, are you going to want an assistant?
Do I get an assistant? Glenn never had one.
Yeah, he always thought it would come out of his salary, but it doesn't.
Speaking of, I don't even really know what my salary is. Would you happen to have it?
Oh, it's $109,000. Hello? Are you still there?
Yes. Sorry. You said $100,000?
And nine, plus a yearly bonus, usually around $10,000.
Sorry. Hello? Hi. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say 10, you mean like on top of the previously mentioned nine, or is it like a part of the nine, so it's really just like one?
I don't know what that means, but it's a total of $119,000.
And those are real, firm, rock hard numbers. I'm sorry if that sounded over-sexual, I'm just looking for confirmation.
Uh-huh. So I'll just fax over the contract and you can sign it at your convenience.
Yeah. No, it's convenient right now. I could do that right now. Uh-huh.
Do you want to hear about your perks?
Holy yes, I would like to hear about those, please.
I kind of feel on the other side then, just looking at some of these other characters. They've got Lauren Ash, who plays Dina.
Yes, probably. I mean,
the other side of Amy, isn't it? Like, just the most fiercely independent, intense human being I'll ever meet.
She is just phenomenal. I have never been so in love with a sitcom character as I have been with Dina. She is just a powerhouse of a woman. And, you know, she takes no rubbish. She's just completely, you know, a champion of her own self. And, and I mean, who can't love a person that has, like, 60 birds as pets? Do you know what I mean? Incredible.
I know one of my guests, previous guests, would be absolutely thrilled with that. That's Lucy from TV Time, if you're listening. But, it's absolutely brilliant, and I kind of love how aggressive she is as well with stuff like not understanding pop culture references, but also not being bothered by what anyone thinks.
She just doesn't care, which is incredible.
Do you mind if I turn on the... Where's your radio?
Oh, I special ordered my truck without one.
Yeah, it costs a little extra, but it makes the vehicle less appealing to thieves, because no one wants a truck without a radio. Name a song, though. I'll sing it for you.
That's okay.
No, no, go ahead. I got a photographic memory for music.
Okay, Single Ladies.
Not familiar with that one.
Uptown Funk.
Don't know it.
Dancing Queen.
Nope.
Thriller? Michael Jackson?
You can't name a song by some guy you went to middle school with. It has to be popular.
The only thing she does care about is making sure that the job is done. And done well. But then also, you know, as time progresses, you see her relationship blossom with Amy and kind of, and especially her relationship blossoming with Garrett as well.
Yeah, that's an unusual pairing. But
definitely not the pairing you would have thought. But by the end, you are passionately and like you are passionately shipping them two together. Because they just, it's almost like looking in hindsight, you couldn't have seen any other two people be together. Do you know what I mean? Which again is just an absolute, admiration of how the episodes and the stories and the characters have all been written. Yeah, hats off to the writers on that one.
Big time. And she also gets some good stuff to play around with, I think, in terms of drama. You know, there's an episode pretty late on, because you hear about her dad and how she he basically walked out when she was younger, which kind of explains her intensity.
Yeah.
And then the dad comes back as played by Dean Norris from Breaking Bad fame, one of my favorite working actors. And just, I thought that whole episode was lovely, not only because it was like, oh, it's Dean Norris, but it was a really nice bit of back and forth in character development for her.
And it was a very much a turning point for her character as well, because, you know, throughout that whole episode, she's so, you know, she's looking up to her father and she's like, you know, where have you, you know, this is what I've always wanted. I've wanted you to come back. I want you to be a father to me. And then to the end of that episode where she's like, I don't need you anymore. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's just such a wonderful thing, because it just again shows that development of her character, and again, it's just such a lovely episode and a lovely way for her character to kind of develop and go on.
Yeah. I also enjoy the running gag that she wears the same police outfit every Halloween.
Yes!
It's just like, okay, fair enough.
So it seems that, I don't know where this started out, but it seems that Halloween episodes are like a staple of sitcoms.
Yeah, it's probably because it's quite an American holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they'll slot one in.
Obviously, you've got the Halloween heists on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's always made that's an event, isn't it, within itself in every series of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And
oh, it's brilliant.
And that that's the same with Superstore. Now, obviously, I binged Superstore, so it was never actually Halloween when I was watching the episodes. But it still came to be that thing where I go, oh, it's the Halloween episode. What outfits is everybody going to be in? And again, when every time Dina is just in the same outfit, is just hilarious. Honestly, so great.
Yeah, it just speaks to her kind of practicality and just her straightforward way. And I seem to remember an episode, stuff's coming back to me now, where there's a criminal that's that she's caught on camera trying to steal. And it's this whole really intense kind of unspoken passion between the two of them. And you think she's going to let him go and go on a date. And then the second he walks out of the store, the police show up and she's just I had to do it. And and I just love that they did that. So that figures. Yeah. That's pretty much what her character would do. She's just so straight laced, nothing really phases her.
Yeah, literally. I also love with the Halloween episodes, kind of on the other side of the spectrum, Jonah, who always makes a little bit too much effort into his Halloween costumes. Because obviously he dresses up as Brexit.
That's right.
And then he also dresses, in a later season, he also dresses up as gerrymandering.
He does all sorts of weird stuff. It's like one of those guys that, you say, tries too hard, so he has to over-explain
what he's doing. Nobody ever knows what he's actually wearing, so he has to go, look, this is what I'm wearing. And everyone's just like, oh, stop it.
Always a great gag. You mentioned him earlier, and I thought another character that's definitely worth talking about was Garrett, played by Colton Dunn. I've recognised him, and I couldn't think what from.
So Colton Dunn was in Parks and Recreation. as a kind of recurring character. He's one of the wildlife
wranglers, wasn't he? Was it?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
With Andy Samberg.
Yeah, there we go.
How sitcoms cross over, you know?
I know, it could be the same universe. Who knows? But I think it's a really interesting character. And like you said, I can see why him and Dina work, because he's, again, very straight-laced, very dry, pretty down-to-earth. But I kind of love that he's the witty guy of the group, who gets to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I also think that, in a way, Garrett is a little underappreciated, because he is literally... Mm. He is the narrator of the show.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
He's always the one making the announcements, and from the first episode to the last, and really, he's actually... He has the last word, do you know what I mean? And that is so important. And he always has a good laugh when he's making his store announcements, and he's always incredibly funny. But I do. Honestly, I could literally say I love all the characters from the bottom of my heart. But one thing I also love about Garrett is his relationship with Jonah.
Yeah.
And the kind of, like, they're definitely friends, but Garrett loves to be really blasé about it and just be like, I care about my actual friends more. You're just my work friend. And it's like, you don't really mean that. But, you know, it's always funny that he's always kind of teasing at him about it. And I just really love that.
Yeah. And he loves winding him up and putting him in situations, like just tapping into Jonah's kind of neurotic mindset and just sort of pranking him, and I kind of enjoy that. Like, he just sort of winds him up and sets him loose.
Yeah, because Jonah is so incredibly easy to wind up in any kind of way, into where he just gets himself into the most awkward and terrible situations.
And I will say, actually, with Garrett, as somebody who does the announcements, I think it's spot on. Like, have you ever had to do any sort of over the tannoy stuff at work?
No, but I am a radio presenter, so I do kind of get it.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of do get it, yeah.
The power of the mic, because I used to do that once or twice in jobs, a long time back now in retail. And it is quite a lot of fun being able to press the button and just, like the voice of God across the store. It's kind of... And I just love, like, the more as the show goes on, he just cares less and less. And it's just, like you said, is effectively narrating the show to all of the customers, and it always cuts to the people just looking up in confusion, like, what's Dion about?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's just a way for him to just kind of let loose and just blow off steam in a way, and it's such a great part of the show.
Attention Cloud9 shoppers, apparently Black Friday has begun. From all of us here at Cloud9, have a great purge.
It really, really is. And I think he's one of those guys as well. I like the fact that, because he's in a wheelchair, and that's kind of like, they do some fun stuff with that. In that, well, for fun thing, they never really address why, which I think is quite smart.
There's also that incredible episode where he kind of gives it away, but he's lying, and that kind of,
yes,
what is he actually telling the truth about, which was really, really funny as well, to kind of get out of doing things and make people feel sorry for him. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, that's it. And he kind of just, because it doesn't really matter and it shouldn't matter. And I love that they do it early on in one of the episodes where there's a guy coming, actually it's two people, isn't it? There's a reporter and a photographer coming for like the local store newspaper, the company paper. And he's like, he's going to want a picture of me because I'm in a wheelchair. And he spends the entire episode like just trying to get out of it. And the ways he comes up with are just hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really funny.
Just so, I love him so much. I think definitely.
What about, I'm working my way down the list here.
Yeah, I mean...
Nico Santos as Mateo. Mateo. I just realized as well, everyone's first names here, like on the cast, there's no surnames.
So, I mean, Mateo is kind of one of those wonderful characters that you know in real life, you know, the person who goes to work, gets the job done, says they're better than everyone else because they are better than everyone else. And then just kind of, but then, you know, it just comes because there seems to be like kind of pairings, doesn't there, with Superstore. You know, you've got Amy and Jonah, You've got Dina and Garrett, but then you've also got Garrett and Jonah, and then you've got Amy and Dina.
Yeah.
But then the other kind of pairing, really, that you have is Mateo and Cheyenne. And they are possibly my favourite pairing. I love them together because they are the kind of, they're the hip, young, know-it-all kind of, they're up to date with the latest current affairs and like the latest trends and kind of all that kind of stuff. And again, that's something that you know quite well in your own kind of personal life. You know those people who, when you ask them something, they know that latest trend, or they're like, oh, as if you don't know this kind of thing. And then together is just such a wonderful friendship. And absolutely love them.
Yeah, it is. They have a lot of fun bouncing off each other. I mean, one of my kind of favourite jokes they had, and because it's something that come up once or twice, I hadn't noticed before, and then they kind of address it in an episode as well, like, they keep having these business ideas, in air quotes.
Yeah.
But it's purely just a way of passing the time. And like, they address it later on an episode, and they're like, hang on, didn't you say you were going to do this, this, and this? And they're like, yeah, we just, you know, we're not really actually going to do it.
Yeah,
we're just having fun.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Yeah,
and even later, it turns out like, oh, we should start a band. Yeah, we should start, what should we be called? And they come up with a name, and then they're like, that's as far as it goes. And it's just kind of, it's fun little banter.
Yeah. I also have to say, and I have to take my hat off to Nicole Sakura, who plays Shane, for spending the whole first series with a pregnancy bump.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, I wouldn't have done it. I'd be like, what do you mean you want me to wear a pregnancy? You want me to be pregnant for all this time? Which I also thought was quite fun. Because obviously, with the first series, you see where it's coming towards those final episodes, don't you? You know that something's going to happen in terms of her giving birth. And when it does happen, it's just rip-roaringly funny and just so wonderful. And I think a wonderful way to bring the whole team together for like the first time properly. You know, cause you've obviously in the first season, you've got all these relationships bubbling up together.
Yeah.
And they never kind of, you know, there's never a full real like team thing, but then going into helping Shen with her baby and giving birth in the store, it just kind of, like I said, it just kind of brings them all together and just gives them all that moment, which then makes you want to come back and go and watch the next season, because you just kind of, you're in it, then it locks you in.
Yeah, and it's a nice way as well, like for some of the other characters to kind of show their more paternal sides. Like Amy really tries to be a good role model in a way for Cheyenne, and just kind of give her a bit of a nudge in the right direction. Because again, you learn later on, similar to Dina, she's not had much in the way of parental help, shall we say. So it's kind of nice that she's there for her. But at the same time, she kind of has to let her do her own thing. I mean, her idiot boyfriend husband, played by Johnny Pemberton, called Bo.
We love Bo.
I love him because he's just so over the top. But you could totally believe somebody like that. And you could see them working. It's really, really British. Yeah. I mean, doesn't he start in the pilot episode by like doing a proposal by faking a robbery of the store? And it's just like, what are you doing?
He just does so many silly things. And then, you know, the whole storyline where they're trying to buy a house, and, you know, they go in with, when they go to the house viewing with Glenn, and then they're in this house and it is just horrible and decrepit.
Yeah.
And they both walk in and they're like, yeah, let's take it. And Glenn's like, Are you sure? Are you sure you want this house? Because are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, they just need that little push in the right direction. Which is very sweet.
Again, just another really great, really wonderful bit of chemistry between two actors that just works so well.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to witness the union of Cheyenne Taylor Lee and Bilbo Derek Thompson in holy matrimony. To be joined as husband and wife for all eternity.
No, I can't do this, okay? No.
No, stop it.
No, okay, I gotta be free. You can't chain me down.
Do you have to do this right now?
Cheyenne, maybe it's for the best.
No, what's up? This can't wait, okay? OK, Okay, I can't stand up here and say all these words about loving you forever. But I can rap them.
Then we're gonna need a sick ass beat. Spitfire Minister Funkacon.
Yeah, I'ma be with you for life.
For life.
I'm the husband.
She's very charismatic.
It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. Just I sort of come back to Mateo just a little bit. I just remembered there's something I really enjoyed about his character was this kind of power hungry dynamic that he has with a lot of the group. Like he's so petty and like wants to get. I just remember there's a really brilliant episode where I think Garrett winds him up by he's going for an interview for like a promotion that it kind of means nothing anyway, but Mateo's hyped it up so much in his head. And that he tell, and then like Garrett just taps into that paranoia and that like need for power that he's like, oh, you're going to have to really put like a showstopper on if you want this to work.
Yes.
And it's just keep, and like as the episode progresses, they keep cutting back to him and he's got him doing like a PowerPoint presentation and like a dance number. And it gets to the end of the episode, he's like in a full costume and everything. And I'm like, before he could even do anything, I think it's Glenn is meant to be taking it. It's just like, oh, I haven't really got time, you know, could you just put the form on my desk or whatever?
Yeah.
And just walks out of the room. And he's got like a full light show and everything. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what else I also love about Mateo is the fact that obviously he's an openly gay character and has openly gay relationships throughout the show. And they never, or as far as I remember, they never ever make a big deal out of the fact that he's gay.
Yeah, I seem to remember that. You know, but if anything, he's got terrible choice because what's one of the guys like the? Oh, what's his name? Jeff.
Jeff, that's it.
Jeff's the worst. But no, I kind of love the character of Jeff because we get to see him after they break up and he just spirals and it's like it's quite funny watching someone have a midlife crisis.
Yeah, when he's got like all his new cars and his what is a flat cap and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. Brilliant.
I must say, though, the person that Mateo does end up with, I think I'm a lot happier with Amy's brother.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so I think that's another thing it is just another great thing. They don't make a big deal out of, you know, the diversity of the characters. But then the diversity is still there and still very present within the show.
True. Yeah, very true. It is quite a diverse cast, actually, and I quite like that about it. I'm just looking through. I mean, the next one I have to mention, of course, is Glenn, played by Mark McKinney. I don't know about you. I had to Google at some point just to double check that wasn't his real voice because I was thinking, like, I hope for his sake it isn't. Of course it isn't. Of course he's putting it on. But it's so funny. I mean, I think at some point in the show, someone addresses it and just tells him he sounds like a Muppet character, which he absolutely
does. Yes, he does sound like Kermit the Frog. It's unreal, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
But then that's just to get that. I mean, he's just incredible, isn't he, Mark McKinney? He just does such a wonderful job. Glenn is just such a lovable, likable character, and he has his problems, you know. He's a very religious person, and one of my favorite things that ever happens in Superstore is when it's Pride month and they've done the wedding display, and Mateo goes, well, it's just a straight couple and there's a gay couple that are, you know, that are looking to get married, and then Glenn goes literally so over the top and makes the whole display for the gay couple who wants, you know, who are looking for things.
Yeah.
And I just love that about his character, because although he is religious and he is a bit, you know, he's not really up to date with all the kind of, you know, the values of today and all that kind of stuff, he is incredibly willing and ready to learn about it and to change his own self to be the best possible person that he can possibly be.
Yeah, so long as the very clearly skivy priest guy isn't trying to take advantage of him, that is, you know, that's... I like the other side of that coin. Yeah, I can't remember the actor, I might find him, the actor who plays this very clearly corrupt priest just taking advantage of people's faith.
Yep.
Which is absolutely disgraceful, but it's very funny the way he plays it. And like, cause he, and he has all these, I will find him. Yeah, because he has all these running gags, doesn't he? With Glenn just talking about how he needs another jet or like a diamond watch or something. And he's just kind of like, what? Sorry? What? What's his name? His past or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I can't.
You're doing the same as me. We're trying to
find... I am. I'm looking for it. Let's see.
Where is he?
Pastor Craig.
Pastor Craig, that's the one. There he is.
Bashar
Salahuddin, I think. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Apologies if I've got that wrong. But yeah, that guy's brilliant. I think he plays it very well. And like, because I think there is an episode where you finally meet him.
Yeah, he comes to the store.
Like a book signing, doesn't he?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it kind of, you see Glenn's almost like nasty side come out. Like it's like everything he's got built up is so fragile. Like it hangs on this obvious con artist. Which is really sad, but then it's like any threat to that, and he just suddenly gets kind of real mean. It's quite funny seeing him be mean because he still has that ridiculous voice.
He does, because he can get into those kind of situations when someone genuinely like upsets him or angers him. And yeah, but then he never, like you said, because he's got the voice that he's got, it's never really quite serious enough to kind of hate him for doing so.
You kicked Pastor Craig out of the store? I want the truth.
Yes.
Don't lie to me, Amy. You kicked him out.
I said yes. He was selling his book in the store, Glenn. I didn't agree to that.
You are out of control, Missy. And you were going to pick up the phone and you were going to call Pastor Craig and apologize to him right now.
No.
Then you can't be manager anymore.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you could handle it. But you immediately came in and started whizzing all over the place and changing up a perfectly good office. And oh, look at our window. Now we can all stare at manager Amy.
Glenn, you can't just take the job back.
Yes, I can. Get out of my office.
That's not going to happen.
So you're just keeping the job?
Yeah.
Well, then what can I do?
Nothing.
But then I can't do anything.
I know.
So what? I mean, I've got to just do whatever you say?
Yeah.
But then I can't do what I want. And I want to do it. This is so unfair. Can I even slam the door?
I'd rather that you didn't.
No, it's just more kind of ridiculous.
Exactly.
And you can just laugh at it.
Exactly.
It's great. And I kind of like as well, his story arc's fascinating to me because he steps down from being manager at one point. And it's... It that's kind of another nice thing about his character is he's someone that is very content with what he has in life.
Yeah, definitely. And he, I always remember that bit where, you know, that kind of run of episodes where he decides that he's going to take a step back, and it kind of knocked everything out of Nick. Like, but then, you know, he was still a presence and he's still there, which is just great. Mm. And actually, if anything, I feel like some of his best moments come from when he isn't manager. And when he is just kind of a general, where especially in like the few episodes right after he steps down from managing. Mm. And, you know, he comes back and he's like on the floor with all the general staff.
That's right.
And he's kind of still trying to be a manager, and they're like, you don't have that power anymore, Glenn.
he has to make that adjustment, which, yeah, a little difficult, but again, just a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah,
a really, really lovely character, just a really interesting performance choice just for the voice alone.
Especially because when you come in to make a characterization decision for a character that you're playing in a sitcom, and then... Mm. That sitcom gets renewed up to 6 seasons, which is like 6 years of your life where you've got to do this. He had to do this voice for 113 episodes. Do you know
Amazing.
What I mean? Like, that is dedication.
Oh, it is. And you can bet people come up to me in the street all the time and go, Glenn Sturges. And he'd just be like, yes, that's me.
I've had enough of it now. Stop it.
I think the other side of that coin, though, one that's on here, and I think one of my absolute MVPs of the show is the character of Sandra, played by Kaliko... Hang on, I'm going to get this wrong. Kayuhai? Again, I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm so sorry if I've offended anyone with my terrible British pronunciation. But we move. The character of Sandra, just hilarious. Just, like, the most tragic character of the series.
Her just rise from literally being this shell of a person.
Yeah, yeah.
That when literally anybody spoke to her, she just went, okay, and then stopped talking. To her being this absolute sassy, wonderful, just incredible human being towards the end of the show is just incredible. And like you said, MVP, because she is just so funny all of the time. And I would argue that the I will find it. Yeah, the Sandra Carroll saga.
Oh my goodness,
Best, like, most wonderful storyline in the entire show.
Yeah, yeah. Irene White, that plays Carol, just does manic acting like you've never seen. And like you said, it's a great pairing, those two.
Yeah, if you talk about, like, Dina, if I talk about, like, Dina being never having liked a sitcom character more, never have I hated a sitcom character more than Carol.
Oh, I know, she is, like, evil by the end of it.
Yeah.
But it's really, really funny because obviously they have, like, a love rivalry over Jerry, played by Chris Grace.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious because you meet Jerry and Sandra, and they meet in a bar, I think, or something.
Yeah.
And they're exactly the same. Like, they're one of those, like, instant matches that you like.
It is a snap moment, isn't it? When they meet, you just know it.
And then Carol, what is it? It's almost like rock, paper, scissors or something so ridiculous that she just claims Jerry.
Yeah.
And Sandra just has no recourse, apparently.
She just takes him. takes him for herself. And because obviously that's kind of what starts the feud between them. And obviously Sandra being incredibly jealous, but Jerry not being a strong enough personality to be able to break away from Carol's claws.
That's right.
So having to kind of live in this moment. And then, you know, while Carol and Jerry are in this relationship, and then you get those lovely little moments where Jerry and Sandra kind of get a moment alone together where they just kind of smile at each other or something. And it's the sweetest thing. It's just so lovely. And then obviously them ending up being together properly and getting married. And even though the wedding was a whole drama within itself and Carol trying to kill the cat.
Yeah, that's right. It's so ridiculous, but it's just brilliant. Because I think I've never been more unsettled in a sitcom than I have when Carol comes back and she's doing this whole, like, hippie thing. And you know, this is an act.
Yeah.
This is 100%, and you're just on edge, but, like, so are the entire cast, like, everyone. They all play it so well, where they're all just so super aware of what she's doing. But it's really funny. It's super, super good.
Look, if it were up to me, she wouldn't be working here at all. Most of you wouldn't be.
What's going on? Is everything okay?
Saeed doesn't want to work in housewares. Carol's there. I just don't feel comfortable working. They're a crazy person.
Okay, you know what? Let's not use the word crazy. It's demeaning, and it's debilitating, and some other word that corporate used that I can't remember. But fine, I'll move her into seasonals with Justine.
No, thank you. I don't need the drama. I'm a no-drama mama. I even have a t-shirt that says that.
Okay, hey, Nikki. How's your first day going, girl?
It's fine.
I got a really fun assignment for you.
I know all about Carol. No, thank you.
How do you already know about her?
From, like, six people. Sounds like a real maniac.
Also, not a word we should be using.
Amy, I think everyone's just trying to be safe. People who hurt animals eventually start hurting people.
It's true. My uncle accidentally ran over a mongoose, and then he punched out a guy at Foodland.
Okay, can we just stop talking about this? The fact is, Carol has to work somewhere in the store, so she's going to be in somebody's department.
It's obviously not going to be Sandra. I heard Carol freaked her out so much she crapped her wedding dress.
Oh, that didn't happen.
You don't have to be embarrassed. It's totally natural. It happens to lots of brides at their wedding.
That's childbirth.
I didn't crap myself. Amy, tell him.
Sandra, she said she didn't want to talk about what happened that night. The rumor stands.
Oh, man.
Glenn, you're all about second chances. How about Carol works with you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as a floor supervisor, I'm also sort of a lone wolf, so
you know.
All right, well, since you're all a bunch of babies, I'll just have Carol work with me for today.
See? Amy and I are the only two people willing to give Carol a second chance.
Well, that's another thing, because obviously, after Sandra and Jerry get married and they've kind of got their own separate storyline, Carol has this storyline where she gets electrocuted by the robot thing, the kind of...
Yes!
And then obviously she sues Cloud9 for, being injured and not having the help that she needed. And then obviously she gets all of this money. And she just comes back and she's, like, got loads of expensive stuff on her. She's in, like, a proper, like, expensive tracksuit and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious. It's so, so funny. And then, like you said, when she comes back and she's like, I'm Zen now. Yeah.
And just... no one buys it.
Yeah,
no one buys
nobody
it.
Buys it. Everyone's like, it's so creepy. Even even as a, you know, as a viewer watching it, you kind of go...
Yeah.
No, something's not right here.
No, you're super on edge, but as you say, it's a lot of fun. And what you said earlier, really, about the character of Sandra, it's nice that she kind of gets a happy ending in that way. And
yeah,
and I like the way that that the comedy is played in that character, because as you say, at the beginning, she is just this like broken shell of a woman. I like that description. That's so so accurate. And she's really good at playing those really quietly sad moments. Like, whenever she speaks, it's always, like, the worst story you've ever heard. But then, like, come the other side of it, when she's married and with Jerry, she's suddenly got this newfound confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's just really funny hearing her just come out with these sayings or, like, what she thinks is profound wisdom, but it's just common sense and stuff people already know. But you're like, do you know what? You deserve a win.
You know, there's nothing more... There's nothing more Sandra and Jerry like for where, you know, the storyline where she's kind of saying to Amy and Glenn and Dina how she wants to maybe have a child with Jerry. And then Glenn is like, well, why don't you adopt this 17-year-old boy?
Yeah, that's right.
And obviously she's put into such a position where she just can't say no.
Yeah,
and then that whole thing is just so, like, it would never happen to anybody that isn't Sandra and Jerry. Do you know what I mean?
And yeah,
yeah, it's just so great.
It absolutely is. I kind of another little character just clocked up on my screen is, I think someone that gets progressively worse and sadder, but it's still very very funny, is the character of Justine, played here. I've got here by Kelly Schumann. Because she's another one where, like, she starts off not saying a lot, but then as things go on, it's just kind of sad, lonely spinster comments that she just comes out with. Like, they always crack me up, because they're just like, oh.
You remember the episode, the Golden Globe party episode, where they're obviously all, and obviously it goes completely wrong, and Amy just has an absolute mare of a night, because her and her husband have just broken up. But literally the best bit about that episode is the ending where it just pans outside and Justine's just sat in a car.
Yeah.
Just like she'd never even gone in.
Yeah, she's just trapped, isn't she, in her car? She just hasn't moved.
It's Which is something brilliant. I would do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'd just sit there crying like, what do I do now? What do I do?
It's all these little characters that are next down from her. One of my absolute favourites is Marcus, played by John Barinholtz. I don't know about you, when I see his character, and I said this to my wife the first time I was watching the show, I was like, he has such great, like, Seth MacFarlane kind of energy.
Yeah.
I think in the way that he delivers his lines, it's kind of like, very sort of dry, deadpan stupidity. And I love it. I love the stuff he comes out with. I think it's wonderful.
That's such an apt judgment. And again, like, there's nobody... I think, like, his story is the saddest because he just has nothing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He has nothing. And, you know, there's obviously that big period of time where he's literally living in the store.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah.
But then, obviously, after that, when kind of he moves in with Jonah, and he's just like, look, we're best friends and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, I do. I think... Even the smaller characters, you know, the recurring characters that come in every episode and just have a few lines, and even their overall storylines are just as good as the main characters.
Absolutely. Yeah. This reminds me of, I'm trying to think what conversation it was now. Apologies, some of the listeners might be screaming at me because it seems obvious. But for me, it's been weeks of having these conversations. But it might have been the Parks and Rec one, actually, where we talked about how all of the characters kind of get little arcs that finish them off, even the little ones. I mean, I've talked about it in other sitcoms as well, but this is a show that seems to do that quite nicely. It's like you said, even the smaller players get little moments or they get little character development. And it's quite nice to see. Like you said, it kind of helps build that ensemble.
Exactly. And just
makes it really fun to watch, because to come back to something you said earlier, it means you end up with all these different pairings and all of the characters have had their little moments, so it just kind of gives them something to work with. It's quite straightforward stuff, I think, in terms of writing comedy, but it's very effective and very funny.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, if you go into a sitcom and you only really like a couple of the characters, then it's going to be less desirable to go back to. But when it just does so well at making all of the characters in some way interesting, if not likable, you know what I mean? A lot of the characters are likable. But, you know, in the case of Carol and things like that, who aren't necessarily likable, they're still interesting characters and you still want to find out what happens to them. It's just done so incredibly well.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. A lot of them. I'm going to go through some of the other minor characters I really love. One I have to shout out because sadly she's passed away is the character of Myrtle.
Oh, and rest in peace, my darling.
Linda Porter, and a big shout out to my wife Abigail, who clocked this the first time we watched it. She went, "That's the woman that's in the end of the Tenacious D tribute video." And I said, "Is it?" And I went and looked it up. Yes, it is.
Oh my god, I didn't even know that. But yeah, well, she'd had quite an, as far as I'm aware, the actress had had quite an illustrious career going into Superstore. And yeah, she was just such a wonderful character. And the tribute they make for her as well, I think it's in series 5 potentially, is just so beautiful as well. And then obviously from that moment on, there's a picture of her up constantly at customer services and it's just so lovely.
Yeah, there is. There's that little weird like CGI Myrtle.
Oh yeah, that was a bit strange. That was kind of Uncanny Valley, but yeah,
it was. But it was funny, and I just, like you said, she's so sweet, and she's another one of these actresses, like just these characters, really. That I think I've got it here. She's in 34 episodes, which, as you say, over 113 is hardly any at all. But she's so sweet. She's so sweet. And again, and, like, she gets all these brilliant moments.
Yeah, for a character that is only in that many episodes, it's just insane the kind of impact that she made and how memorable of a character she actually is. It's just a testament.
Hey, Myrtle. You've been here for 30 years?
Yep.
Okay, how much money have you saved?
Almost $900. I'm almost ready to head on out to California.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's definitely one of my favorites, has to be said. Like you said, rest in peace, Linda Porter. You were a legend in this show.
Very much
and,
so.
There's so many of these guys. I'm looking, and Steve Agee is one I recognised. He plays a character called Isaac. He's in like 12 episodes, but he's this big bearded dude that you wouldn't miss him because he's absolutely huge.
Yeah.
But like, again, gets a lot of great kind of one-liners and gags. You've got Ryan Gall that plays Adam, Amy's husband, and I feel like he plays that character very well. Like when you first meet him, you kind of understand why maybe her relationship with him is breaking down a bit, because
very much so.
Not the best, but there's all these guys. Amir M. Coronet. Oh wow, I'm really butchering names. I apologize. I'm just gonna say Amir M. This is wonderful guy who plays Saeed, who, again, another great character, another one that just has these cracking one-liners. And like you said, this is a show where I think part of the reason why it's been so successful and so many people are tuning in and loving it is, as you said, they utilize the ensemble really well. It doesn't feel like there's a wasted moment, I think, when you're watching the show. It feels like everybody kind of has, whether it's a little quip or a gag or a look to camera or they don't do look to cameras, but it's, you know, that kind of mindset. It's very, very well done.
Yeah, incredibly so. Yeah, definitely.
It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend people check it out, because I'm actually, this might take me back to our first episode. I think one of the head writers, where is he? Justin Spitzer, yeah, is one of the sort of the key creators. I'm pretty sure he was part of the US office as well, and like Parks and Rec. I'm just gonna have a quick guy. Yeah, he was. He was part of the production team and behind the US office. So it's interesting to see how many of these shows interweave with each other, and these kind of writers and these actors and what have you. And with that in mind, I think if you're listening and you think, yeah, I'm a big fan of like the US office and that kind of comedy, definitely give this one a try, because
1000%,
this will be up your street. This is like that. It's very easy to watch. It's like you said, easy to binge, kind of, isn't it? Just
so easy. I must have watched it in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's wonderful. To be honest, I've commented on all I can think to comment on. Is there anything else you want to bring up, Alex?
I think the final thing is just in the last season, the way they handle the coronavirus pandemic and actually make it a part of the story.
Okay, because I haven't got to that yet, so I'm curious.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I won't go too much into it, because obviously I'd love for you to like kind of explore it yourself, but
okay,
I just think it's done so well, and you know, kind of captures exactly how everyone is feeling about the whole situation, and also how it must have been, or how it must still be, for people working in retail, you know, throughout the pandemic and stuff like that. You know, they make light of it, but then are also incredibly spot on about the comments that they make in terms of how they're all feeling. And I just think that's done really, really well. Because it must have been really hard for them as well to film it. And, you know, they had to do a break, and the series was originally going to be like a full 22-episode run, but they had to kind of cut it down. So it must have been really difficult, but I'm still, quite impressed with how they did it. It's very, very good.
I have heard that about the show, actually, yeah, so I'll be very curious to check that out. And I think for most people listening, it's pretty much on Netflix most places in the world, or as you say, some of the newer seasons apparently on ITV as well.
Yeah, so you can check them out on the ITV Hub. I'm pretty sure they're all there. Yeah,
excellent. I'll definitely make sure to do that.
Definitely.
So Alex, where can the good people find you then to bring us home?
You can find me on Twitter at Presenter Alex. I've got a few things going on. You can find out everything like that. And then you can also follow Annapurnaverse on Twitter. I present a podcast with my good friend Billy, and we delve into the filmography of Annapurna Pictures. They follow us, they acknowledge that we exist, so you know, it's just absolutely incredible. It's a real fun show. We've talked about Booksmart, we've also talked about Lawless and Detroit and Missing Link, and we've got an episode coming out on Vice, so it's going to be really, really cool. It's honestly great. You should go and give that a listen.
Will do, yeah. We'll make sure we put all the links in the show notes for you as per normal. But Alex, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me again. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And there we have it. A huge thank you to Alex for coming back onto the show and joining me for this particular run of the sitcom summer series. I had an absolute blast doing this episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed it too. If you did, definitely go and check out Alex's other projects. I've linked to them in the show notes for you below, as well as his social media, so reach out and say hi. He's a lovely, lovely guy. If you also want to follow the podcast, make sure you're doing that via the social media links that I've put in the show notes for you. You could also reach out and let me know what you think of the show. If you want to send me an email, you can do that as well. If you want to potentially be on the show, that is also an option. And of course, if you did leave me a lovely 5-star review, then by all means let me know, because of course you will earn a shout out on the podcast. A huge thank you, as always, to Alex Jenkins, who designs the artwork for the show. His details are also in the show notes if you want to go and commission him for some artwork, which I highly recommend that you do. And last but not least, I just want to say again a massive thank you to you, the dear listener, for checking out this podcast and for telling a friend, for subscribing, all that good stuff. It really means an awful lot to me, especially as we now head into this next year of the Fundamentals podcast. I have no idea where it's going to go, what's going to happen. All I do know right now is that I'm wrapping up the sitcom summer series. All of the guest spots have now been booked as of time of recording and should see us through to the end of August. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll be back again next week with another guest and another sitcom, and I will leave a little clue for you as to what's coming up next. So until next time, stay tuned and stay safe.
We'll get to your problem in a minute. Have you had a chance to think of my zinger?
Well, it's almost Thanksgiving, everybody, and I know what this crowd's giving thanks for. Estate tax reform.
That is terrific. I really enjoyed that. But do you think it's too topical? Damn, I wish this event were tonight.
It's not tonight. When is it?
February.
Why are you wearing a tux?
It's after six. What am I, a farmer?